Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I trust you are as well. It's always an honor to come to church, to be able to gather as the people of God and lift up our Lord and Savior, to worship His holy name, enter into His gates and into His courts, and just receive from His presence, to lift Him up and honor Him, and also to receive from Him. And I pray that we never lose the wonder of that, that for all our days we journey to the house of the Lord. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight? You know, life is filled with frames. Picture frames, building frames, door frames, vehicle frames, glasses, frames. And we forget about frames, though they are what hold things in place, though they are what hold things together, they are what provide strength and stability. We forget about frames, though they are the reason we see through lenses. They are what hold the lenses we see through. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 5 verses 1 to 4. I'm reading from the J.B. Phillips New Testament. We know, for instance, that if our earthly dwelling were taken down like a tent, we have a permanent house in heaven, made not by man but by God. In this present frame, we sigh with deep longing for the heavenly house. For we do not want to face utter nakedness when death destroys our present dwelling, these bodies of ours. So long as we are clothed in this temporary dwelling, we have a painful longing. Not because we want to just get rid of these clothes, but because we want to know the full cover of the permanent house that will be ours. We want our transitory life to be absorbed into the life that is eternal. The present frame we are in, the present frame we are in keeps things in place. The present frame we are in keeps things together. The present frame we are in provides strength and stability. The present frame we are in enables us to see. Listen to those words again tonight. In this present frame, we sigh with deep longing for the heavenly house. The King James Version reads, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." This frame we are in enables us to see ever so clearly just how desperately we need the Lord. This frame of life, the physical frame we are in, the things we face, the things we go through, the emotions, the physical pain, all these things causes us to see just how desperately we need the Lord, how desperately we need His presence, and so we sigh, wow, with a deep longing for the Lord, for His house, for His word, for His presence, for the heavenly house, for His kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, for His glory, for His majesty. You know, the frame we are in is fragile. The frame we are in will one day give way to a new frame, our earthly dwelling taken down like a tent to give way to our permanent dwelling, our permanent house in heaven. I want to ask tonight, do we recognize the hopelessness of this earthly frame without the Lord? We think of our own life, We think of the frame we have in place when it comes to family. All things that pertain to our living. And I ask tonight, as we see through that frame, what do we see? Do we recognize the hopelessness of the earthly frame without the Lord? This hopelessness should cause us to see clearly the desperate need for the Lord. It should cause us to see ever so clearly our desperate need for the Lord. It should drive us to God. It should drive us to His house. It should drive us to His word, drive us to our knees, drive us to His presence. Because we realize the hopelessness of the frame we are in. That's the point we need to get to. That's where real living begins. Real purpose. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. It reads, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne." Wow. "As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear to hear must use it. Look at how wretched this frame is without the Lord. How poor, how weak, how hopeless this frame is without the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The frame we are in should cause us to see how wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked we really are without God. Without His presence, without His word, without His glory in our life and in our homes. How hopeless this frame is. The frame we're in should produce a groaning in us that moves us to seek ever so earnestly to buy gold refined in the fire, that we may be rich in white garments, that we may be clothed, that we might find ourselves rich and in need of nothing because we have the Lord. Because we have His word and His presence and His life. What do you see tonight as you look through the frame? In this life, in this frame, we will always feel our weakness. And this is a beautiful thing because it produces earnest desire. What happens is when we no longer see our weakness, we are no longer driven to God because we become strong in self, confident in self. But God wants us for all our days to see our hopelessness while we are in this frame. How hopeless we really are without Him, without His touch. That when we woke up this morning, we needed His presence. And when we wake tomorrow, we need his presence. Always increasing in strength, moving from glory to glory. More and more of God. More and more of the Lord. It produces an earnest desire when you realize how weak you are. And I wonder if our faith has that. If our walk with the Lord has earnest desire. If that's what it looks like. If that's what it feels like. If that's what the Lord is looking down upon, and that's what he feels, and that's what he's receiving, is this earnest desire, because we realize that without him we are nothing. And maybe that's the problem. That for too many, they don't see themselves as weak. They think they're okay without the Lord. They see themselves as in need of nothing. Not in need of the Word, not in need of his presence, not in need of another prayer service, not in need of another sermon, not in need of the gathering of the saints. No earnest desire. Second Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 4. In the New King James Version, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring. Is that the condition of our faith tonight? Earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Mortality might be swallowed up by life. I want to say tonight, heaven is waiting for us, and we are waiting for heaven. And we are burdened, not because we want to just get rid of these clothes, but because we want to know the full cover of the permanent house that will be ours. We want this transitory life to be absorbed into the life that is eternal. Is that the cry of your heart? That your transitory life would be absorbed into the life that is eternal. Heaven on earth, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that not the cry of your heart? Is that not the controlling force of your life? Is that not why we wake and breathe and do life? Is that not how we rise each day with this desperate longing that our transitory life just be absorbed in the life eternal? So desperate for more of God. Is there a groaning? Is there a burden in this present frame? Do we sigh with deep longing for the heavenly house? If we do not, perhaps we think too highly of our frame. Perhaps we see it as something it's not. Perhaps we think we are fine, strong and stable, in need of nothing. We look at the frame we are in, we look through the frame and say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy and have need of nothing, when the reality is we are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and in this present frame, it is hopeless without him. Because we see it like that, it produces earnest desire. And I thank God for the depravity of my frame. the frame that I am in, because it enables me to see just how desperately I need gold refined in the fire, the white garments, the eye salve, because it produces earnest desire, at least it should. And here too, the Lord tests people. Again, I ask tonight, what do you see? I want to share words of Leonard Ravenhill. We live too much in this world. We're earthbound. How many of us know someone who is eternity conscious? What America needs is somebody who will go through every church in the country and preach for a week on eternity. Preach one day on the judgment seat of Christ. Preach one day on the judgment of the believers. Preach one day on the marriage supper of the Lamb. Again, I've told you before, I don't just want to go to heaven. I want to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't just want to go to the marriage supper. I want to be a part of the bride. He continues, a while ago I went to a wedding of a millionaire's daughter. As the bride came down the aisle, it was just as though a voice said to me, look. I looked at her. She was beautifully dressed, very educated, quite brilliant. As I looked at her coming down the aisle, I thought, is Jesus Christ coming for a bride who is poor and wretched? If I was an artist, I would paint the bride on a crutch, one leg almost withered, wearing rags, the other garments looking scruffy like a woman off the streets, poor, wretched, naked, blind, and pitiful. So something has to happen to the church before the Lord Jesus returns. One fact should be already decided in our hearts, and that is to live with cruelty toward our lives, an abasement of our lives in this present evil world. I believe God wants to give us ears to hear. I believe He wants to give us new understanding. I believe He wants to give us new revelation. I ask tonight, what do you see? Because what you see affects your life. It affects your living. It shapes your home. It speaks to everything. I pray that the reality of the frame we are in brings us to our knees, that it stops us in our tracks, that we might go deeper in relationship with the Lord, with the bridegroom. That it would produce in every single one of us an earnest desire for more of Him. That we might groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. That in this present frame we sigh with deep longing for the heavenly house. Not that we want to die and get out of here, but that we want to live. From wretched to noble, from miserable to joyful, from poor to rich, from blind to sighted, from naked to clothed, that we might be truly rich, having become wealthy, having need of nothing, because we have what we need, and that's the Lord. His presence, His word, His life. I thank God for the depravity of this frame I'm in, because it produces earnest desire. It's been driving me to church for a long time. It's been driving me to the prayer closet for a long time. Driving me to His Word. Because I see how hopeless it is without Him. Lord, let it even cause us to groan. Wow. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, that our transitory life be absorbed into the life that is eternal. Is that your prayer tonight? Let the frame we are in change, our frame of mind, our frame of living, our frame of action, and reaction, for we do not want to face utter nakedness when death destroys our present dwelling, these bodies of ours. That our whole life is absorbed into the eternal. I don't wear glasses, but I know what they look like. I think of the frame of a pair of glasses holding lenses that enable sight. Through the frames, we see vision. Sight is changed. Once blind, now sighted. And if we see clearly tonight and properly tonight, we will recognize how weak and fragile our frames are. And it will change our sight. It will change the way we see. I pray, Lord, let it change our sight. You see, we can't rid ourselves of these frames, but a revelation of their weakness can produce something of infinite worth and beauty. But if you don't see yourself as weak without the Lord, you're not going to be driven to His presence. And you're not going to frequent His word like you should. And you're not going to come to His house like you should. You might show up, but you're not going to come like you should. You see, if we came into every church service realizing how hopeless we are without His presence, worship services would look different. If we came in, we knew, I got to get to church, the pre-service prayer, because I'm so in need of God. Life would look different. If we were in our homes and we realized how desperate the situation is in our homes, we would shut down the worldly entertainments because we know we need God. We need more and more and more of His presence. I want to ask tonight, how much of His presence is enough? When do we put the cap on it? Is that enough? How holy is too holy? When do we put the cap on it and say, God, we're good? How close is too close? When we just shut down. You see, when we realize our desperate need for God, it drives us to His presence. It drives us to church. It's been driving me to church since I was 16 and could drive myself morning and night every Sunday into the programs throughout the week, not because I was forced, but because I chose. And every single one of us must choose. And every single one of us must look through the frame we are in and decide for ourselves. Do I need God or do I not? And daily we make that decision and we declare that statement, whether we do or do not need You, Lord. We're hopeless without Him. Every single one of us here, it doesn't matter what we have, we are hopeless without Him. Our only hope is that this transitory life be absorbed into the eternal. This frame we are in, you know, we see in part, and it's a beautiful thing. It's true because no eye has seen and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those that love Him. We don't know the complete picture, and the fact that we only see in part causes this longing to burn even stronger. At least it should. This not only speaks to heaven, but here. You know, we don't fully know what He has prepared for us. We don't fully know what He has prepared for our homes, for this church, for our children. We don't know what He's fully prepared for our occupation, our business, our ministry, our calling. We see in part. We don't fully know what He's prepared. You see, He gives us a promise, a word, a burden, a desire, and the fact that we only see in part causes this longing to burn even stronger. Some give up because they can't see the whole picture. They actually let go of the glimpses, the measure of vision God has given them that would lead to full understanding. Because they can't see the full picture. And maybe it's been too long and they haven't seen what they want to see yet. But if they would just hold on to the glimpse and the glimpses and the vision God has given them, it would lead to true understanding of what God has imagined and what God has in store. The preparation of the Lord. The Bible says that without vision, people cast off restraint, get out of control, lose self-control, order disappears, people decay, people go blind, people perish. What happens? They take off. The little sight they have, they let go of the glimpses God has given them, the partial vision that God has given them, and pretty soon they're perishing from calling, perishing from destiny. They never know the preparation of God, the imagination of God. And I want to say tonight, the fact that we see in part should cause this longing to burn within us with greater intensity. Life really does change when we recognize how weak our frame is. It causes us to frame our lives differently. It causes us to frame our lives on different things. When we see how weak we are, it causes us to frame our life on church, to frame our life on His presence, to frame our life on His Word, to frame our life on times of prayer, to frame our life on the gathering of the saints. Let's have the worship team return tonight. You know, we so desperately need the Lord. Only He can take this frame we are in and make it beautiful. Only He can bring strength and stability to our frame. We might look at our home and we think it's all right, but without God, it's weak. Our lives without God are weak. Tonight, what do you see concerning the frame you are in? What do you see? I would encourage us all tonight to cry out to the Lord. I am poor and I have need of You, Lord. Because the need never ends. We always need God. Every day we need more and more of who He is. More and more of His life. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying tonight, don't let go of the glimpses, the vision God has given you. Let the longing burn even stronger. The vision for your life, the vision for your family, the vision for the lives of your children, this church, your business. Would you let a fire take over tonight? A desperate burning that produces in you, produces in all of us an earnest desire to go after God, to pursue Him like we've never pursued Him before. Not to relax and let go of the glimpses He's given us and the vision He's given us, but that we would hold on and trust God. That we would rise and be a people that, in our weakness, rely on His strength. Let's stand tonight. As you take a look at your own life, your walk with the Lord, I want to ask tonight, as the Word says, judge yourself. Would we all take a look at our life, our relationship with the Lord, our living out of Christianity, We take a look and really ask ourselves, is there earnest desire present in my life? Because earnest desire moves us to action. It's not just something that stays in our head. But it goes beyond our head and it moves everything we are. Pushes us towards God. Maybe tonight we need to make some changes. Decide differently. Maybe we need to start to frame our home differently, frame our marriage differently, frame our relationships differently, frame our time differently, frame the calendar differently. I don't know what it is tonight, but if we don't have earnest desire, I pray for a revelation in this place right now for every single person here of just how weak we really are without God. Because that's our only hope. When we come to the end of ourselves, that's the beginning of life. The team's just going to lead. Just allow the Holy Spirit to work on your heart. And we'll close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to tell the Lord how desperately you need Him. Begin to name the areas in your life that need His touch.